Welcome to Silence the Mind Cluck. I'm your host, Maria T. Finch, and I'm super glad that you're here. Get ready to quiet that mind and reap the rewards. Welcome, everyone. I'm Maria Finch. I'm an inner intelligence coach, and I am thrilled to have Professor Pete here with me today. Welcome.
Hi, Maria. Thank you so much for having me on the show, and I really appreciate your listeners' time as well.
Absolutely. So to start out with, tell us a little bit about you.
Well, I have a lot of things that I'm grateful for to keep me busy. I have an interior landscaping business. I like to say the greatest one, because I'm very proud of it, called Office Plants by Everything Grows. I'm a marketing professor for Antioch University. I'm a stress relief specialist that came about not intentionally, but unintentionally. And I'm also a laughter yoga instructor for my local community. So I keep busy with a lot of different things.
I'll say, wow. Wait, I just have to ask you, did you say laughter? Like laughter?
Laughter, like ha 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 ha. Exactly.
Wow. Okay. All right. I'm going to want to ask you more about that, but we'll get to that later.
Sure.
Wow. So you have a very rich and interesting life. That's amazing.
Yeah, it's a good one. And I'm very grateful for it.
Yeah. Okay. Well, so tell us about a time in your life when you faced an extraordinary amount of mind cluck.
Oh, I've had a lot of those episodes in my life. One in particular that probably listeners can relate to is it started actually back in 2008, where I had this huge amount of different personal and professional things going on in my life that I wasn't handling the stress very well. And what ended up happening is at one point I ended up losing 30 pounds in 30 days. And at first, I was in my mid 40s and I thought, this is fantastic, because I hadn't lost weight since my early 20s. And then after the 30th pound came off and I wasn't doing any dieting, I wasn't doing anything different than my regular exercise routine, I went ahead and had my blood work done, and sure enough, stress-induced diabetes. And there's no diabetes in my family, so that was an interesting one. And like so many of us, when we're working so hard, I didn't listen to my body about what stress was doing to it. So fast forward 10 years, continue to burn the candle at both ends, and I end up in the emergency room and an extended stay in ICU with a severe case of diabetic ketoacidosis. For your listeners who might not know what that is, basically my body was eating itself alive because of my stress. And the crazy thing is, at that point I was working for a medical device company, and I had a micromanager who I was reporting to. And now, this person knew I was in the ER. This person knew that I had been in ICU. Uh-huh. And on my second day in ICU, I get a text from my micromanager saying, you have a webinar you need to run at 8 o'clock. This was at about 6 a.m. We have a webinar you need to run at 8 o'clock. What are you going to do about it? And instead of just saying, well, guess what? I don't have my laptop with me, I pushed the envelope with my phone and was trying to reschedule it and pushing all the boundaries of what my phone could do. And the nurse that was attending to me at that point, pretty much a complete stranger, she comes over to take my blood sugars. And at the point when I was admitted to the hospital, my blood sugars were so high that the medical grade glucometers could not read it. So the lab had to estimate. They estimated that I was 8 to 10 times higher than normal. But after a couple of days, it had come down at least into reasonable numbers. They were still high, but they were reasonable.
Okay.
And as she takes my blood sugar reading, as I'm sitting here with the phone, it shows that my number skyrocketed right back up. And she says to me, just a matter-of-factly, she says, "You realize that's what put you in this hospital bed in the first place."
Yeah.
And, you know, I knew that stress was doing a lot of damage to me. But it wasn't until a complete stranger with nothing, you know, to gain by telling me that mentions that to me. And it was like this epiphany moment in my mind. And for the next, for that, the rest of that day, and then I got out 2 days later from the hospital, but I spent that time trying to figure out what am I going to do?
Yeah.
And I decided I had no choice. I had to focus on my health. And so what I did was I started, you know, focusing on different stress relief tools and techniques. And I noticed that not only did my stress go down, but also my weight went down, my glucose numbers as a diabetic went down, and my energy level went way, way up. It was as if I had found like the fountain of youth. And the crazy thing is, if you saw pictures of me back in 2008 when I first got stress-induced diabetes, and you look at me now 15 years later, with the exception of a little bit more gray hair in my head, I actually look younger than I did 15 years ago. That's what stress does to us. It's crazy.
That is crazy. Oh my gosh. And so you got diagnosed with stress-induced diabetes, but you continued working insanely hard for 10 more years.
Yes.
Wow. And so what, so when you decided, okay, I've got to quit this job, what was going on for you in your mind? Was that a difficult decision to make? And how did you get to that decision point?
Yeah, I had, it was very difficult, primarily from a financial standpoint, because, you know, I had a lot of stock options that, because this company was the first company that I had worked for, that I was working for them prior to them going public.
Oh, okay.
And so, you know, so I had the opportunity to really cash in a lot of stock options had I stuck around. And so I sat there looking at that and thinking, wow, I'm going to be walking away from these, you know, there's no guarantee, but at least on paper, what it looked like at that point. And then I, you know, I thought to myself and I said, yeah, but what good is that going to do me if I'm not around to enjoy that?
Yeah.
And the, you know, and then I started thinking to myself and thinking, you know, I might not be around to meet my future grandchildren, or if I am still around, I might be so physically burned out that I won't be able to do anything else. And that's the crazy thing. When we start trading our health for our careers or other responsibilities, it's a very bad trade. It really is, because, you know, I always, when somebody says, well, I have to work, I have no choice, but, or like they're running a business and they have no choice. And I say, well, okay, so think about a time when you were really sick, like if you had a bad cold, the flu, something like that. Just think about that. And think about, did you have any energy to do anything other than lie in bed? And most people will say no. And then you think, okay, well, if that's all you can do, you're no good to your business, you're no good to your career, you're no good to the people you love, because you've lost your health. And so it's paramount to make sure that is something that is prioritized, because, you know, our health and the time we have are just precious resources.
That is so true. And I think for anybody listening, if you're miserable in your job, in your relationship, in whatever aspect of your life, and your mind might tell you that you don't have options, but you always do.
Mm-hmm.
There are always, always options.
Yep.
So how did you reconcile that for yourself? How did you say, you know what? Okay, I'm going to walk away from these stock options. And what enabled you to do that? What enabled you to say, okay, I'm going to take this risk of walking away from my financial security?
Yeah. So what I did was I thought about it and I said, okay, it's what is worth more to me, you know, is it my health and being able to enjoy the life that I've got ahead of me, or is it my bank account? And it really, it came down to that. And I started thinking about all these other things that I wanted to accomplish in my life that were not necessarily professionally. It was, you know, many other things. And I thought, what if I can't do those? But, you know, a bank account is perfectly fine, but I'm going to be spending a lot of that bank account on medical care. You know, it's like, it's just, it really was when I really, I don't want to say dumbed it down, but when I really simplified it, that is when it was very clear to me what I needed to do. And to your point earlier about, you know, we always have options and stuff. It really is, if you start thinking about what it is that is important to you. And for me, I got trained in personal values back in the 90s. Okay. And what's interesting is that part of the process is you identify your top five personal values. And those top five personal values, for the most part, will not change during your lifetime, with the exception of one. Usually one, because of something that happens, will, you know, all of a sudden drop one of your top five. And it happened to me as well, because back in the early 90s, health was not on my top five.
Oh, that's interesting. Are you game to share your top five? Because I think that would be useful for people to be like, okay, because some people might be like, well, values, like how do I define my values?
Sure. Well, so I have an activity that I can provide a link to. It's actually very simple. That you know, as long as you have 10 minutes to have a perfect quiet space. It walks you through it, and it helps you identify them. For me, number one is health now, and it goes across the board, no matter what it is in my entire life is health, because without it, nothing else really matters, at least in my opinion.
I agree.
So freedom is another one. I realized, you know, I spent a lot of my career as an employee, and you know, as an employee, you don't have a lot of freedom. That's a big one. Fun is another one, because you know what I'm doing, I need to have fun doing it, because if you're not enjoying it, it's not going to be really satisfying, at least to me. Another one is accomplishments. So I am somebody that is likes to be able to get things done. And you know, so I tend to focus on things that, you know, okay, so I've got a goal here, I need to get it done. It could be as simple as, you know, cleaning the house, or it could be as washing the dishes, or it could be as extravagant as some sort of home improvement thing. I mean, whatever it happens to be, that's one. And then the final one for me, it's not just one word, but it's making a difference. And so that's what I really have focused on. And so basically, when you have these top five personal values, the key is how it reduces your stress is whenever you are faced with a particular situation where you need to make a decision. What I always recommend is if you've identified your top five values in that particular area of your life, because there could be some differences. You know, we might have a couple different values for our personal relationships and our career. So, you know, if those are two perfect examples where it's good to do a values exercise for both.
That makes sense.
But when you're faced with a challenging decision in that area of your life, always make sure to run it by your top five values, because if it is not in alignment with one of those values, guaranteed you're going to add additional stress to your life because you're not being true to yourself.
That is so powerful. That's so great. Because I think that in our society, especially, I think it's so hard to say no.
Mm-hmm.
And
absolutely.
You might feel like, oh, well, I'm obligated because of X, Y, Z. But these are all just things that you tell yourself. They're not facts. Mm-hmm. And if you run it by your values, you can say, oh, you know what? No, this is one I'm going to say no to.
Absolutely. And that, you know, that's a perfect example of setting a good boundary. Yeah. So it could be just saying, if it doesn't align with my top five values, I'm not doing it.
Yeah, I'm going to let it go. And the other thing that comes to me is, if it's not hell yes, then it's hell no.
Oh, yes. I love that one too. That's actually one in my book as well. If especially when it's something that's a big, big decision. Yeah. You have to realize that there's going to be some, when you're taking a risk, you're going to have some nervousness about it, but that could be good nervous. It really could. Because whenever we are stretching ourselves in a particular way, that's uncharted waters. So of course we're going to be nervous about it. But yeah, if you're just super excited about it in that hell yes, oh, you have to listen to that. But it goes the opposite direction as well.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. There is no doubt. So what other techniques do you use and recommend for reducing stress?
Well, one that I've used ever since the medical issues that I had, my number one favorite one is gratitude. And what I find is really important is during the day, whenever something happens, like, for example, there's a bridge nearby where I live. And when that bridge opens, it can be an hour long wait to get to the other side of the bridge. Uh-huh. And so, you know, when I go over the bridge and there's, you know, I don't have to wait in line, I just happen to say, thank you, thank you, thank you for, having the bridge open. Mm-hmm. My wife and I also, at the end of our day, I ask her, what are you grateful for? And she asks me, what am I grateful for? And I always start with, I'm grateful for my health, because all else is secondary.
Right.
And then I just recap just the minor things that I remember that were really good. And for me, that really is something that sets the end of the day on a really positive note. And so I highly recommend that people instigate a habit of gratitude, because if you're not grateful for what you have, what happens is we're all energy. And when we're grateful, we send out positive energy. And that positive energy, we attract that same energy back. Mm-hmm. But if we are negative, guess what kind of energy we are sending out to the universe and attracting back? We're going to attract back more negative energy. And a perfect example of that is, you know, talking about the bridge, but imagine you're running late for an appointment, and guess what's going to happen as you keep stressing about that being late? You're going to hit every light. You're going to hit the bridge that's open. It's going to be anything that can get you there late. That's what's going to happen, because the negative energy steamrolls. And so it's bless you. So that's a big one. Another one that I really like is a visualization, because that only takes a minute. And for your listeners, I can take you through this activity. But
yes,
for those listening, if you're driving right now, do not do this exercise until you pull over, or you stop your car, et cetera, because what you do is you close your eyes and you take a deep breath in. And you go in your mind to a place you like to relax. Call it your happy place. Maybe that's the beach. Maybe it's a lake. Maybe it's a park. Maybe it's your backyard. Maybe it's a spa. Wherever it is, go there now in your mind and take in all of your senses. So what do you feel? Do you feel the sun on your face? Maybe the sand or the grass under your feet? And what do you smell? Do you smell the fresh air? Maybe the lotion from the spa? And what do you hear? Do you hear the wind blowing through the trees? Maybe the water splashing on shore? And what do you see? Do you see the blue sky? Maybe the green of the trees or the grass? Whatever it is, take it all in and then take another deep breath in. And open your eyes. Simple visualization exercise to ground you. And that can be done pretty much anywhere other than driving, you know, move in a moving vehicle. But what you can do is you know, if there's a situation at work, if you have your own office, you could do that in your office. If you don't have your own office, I've had people who will go to the restroom and go into the stall and do it. Right. You know, or let's say you pull up, you've got an interview and, you know, you're outside in the parking lot. You know, you do a 1 minute visualization, or, you know, maybe you got to have a Zoom call where you're nervous about having a conversation with somebody. Do a visualization just to get yourself grounded and calm, so that when we're calm, we tend to focus so much better, because if we are stressed, we tend to make very short, quick decisions that may or may not be the right decisions.
Yeah. What other stress relief techniques do you recommend? Especially what I'm thinking about is, like, say you're really angry about something, mm-hmm. or frustrated. Mm-hmm. What do you recommend for getting that energy out?
Yeah, it's a really good one, because typically when you're angry, it's usually something to do with someone, if you think about that. And you could be yourself for that matter, but... Mm-hmm. What I find is that there's this forgiveness meditation that works really well. And I can put a link to it so that the listeners can listen to it. But it's a 7-minute meditation. And what it does is it brings out from your subconscious the people that you need to do a forgiveness exercise with. Mm-hmm. So... And what's interesting is, if you bring it out from your subconscious, it may not be people that you would have thought of. And it is. And the thing is that when you do this this forgiveness exercise, you know, you're just doing this visual. It's a type of visualization, but you're imagining the other person standing in front of you. And what happens is that there's this this forgiveness that goes into the person who, you know, like, for example, I mentioned back about my micromanager boss, and yes. I did the forgiveness exercise with that person, because the reality is that person was just trying to get the work done, you know, and I don't think it was personal, but I took it personally, you know, when it happened.
Understandable.
So there's literally this opportunity to do a joint forgiveness. And what you're doing is this activity, you're not only doing forgiveness to that person, but that person is also acknowledging and forgiving you back. So it really is a powerful, powerful exercise. It's called Ho'oponopono, and it comes from the Hawaiian culture. And so it really is a good one. And like I said, I'll give a link so that to a recording on it. And it's really, really, really powerful.
That sounds really powerful. Say you're in a moment though, where you're like, there is no way I could meditate right now. Mm-hmm. What else would you turn to?
Oh, so another one would be the stop technique. Okay. So we all have been there where all of a sudden we feel our blood starting to boil, right? Starting to get up like this. And so what you do, the S stands for stop before you start saying something that you may regret later. Uh-huh. So what you do is you stop. Then the T is you take yourself away from the situation.
Oh,
so
good.
So if you're ready to let somebody have it, just walk out of the room.
Uh-huh. Yep.
Then just observe, what is it that you're feeling?
Uh-huh.
And then the P is proceed after you've been able to just for 30 seconds or so, just take a moment to say, what is it that just bothered me? Because in the moment of that anger, that high stress, if you blurt something out, the problem is once you've let that out, there's no going back. So then you've got those reparations that you have to make. And you know, hopefully, you know, some of your listeners have never had that situation. Oh, I know I have.
Every person on earth has felt that. That's what I was curious about. Cause it's like, yeah, I can think of times when I have been so, I mean, I meditate a lot, but I can think of times when I'm so mad that like doing a meditation is like, no way, way could I get there.
Yeah,
but I like this stop technique. That's really good.
Oh yeah. Yeah. And you know, going back to, when we did the visualization, for me, what has helped is when you're in the office with other employees, et cetera, is I just go to the restroom. And I, you know, because nobody's going to say, oh, you can't go to the restroom. So,
yeah,
right. So
right.
It's like, excuse me, I need to go, you know, you go in there and you literally just, you know, in the stall and you just observe, what is it that just got me flared? And at least, you know, if you just kind of run through it really quickly and it, like I said, it only takes 30 seconds a minute, but you know, once you've processed that, then you can say, okay, now how do I want to proceed with this?
Right.
You know, and that's,
yeah, it's so wise because I think that I think there are very few, if any, people who can hit that boiling point and not need to step away, like, and be able to stay calm without stepping away. But stepping away, and like you said, it's not like you have to be gone for very long.
No,
you're just giving yourself a little pause to be like, okay. So you can kind of tell yourself, yep, I hear you. I feel you. It's okay. What are we going to do?
Exactly. And you know, and when you've been able to do that, if you can just have the mindset to do something like that, the chances of you blurting out something that you will very much regret later, the chances of that go way, way down.
Yeah. Yeah. That makes so much sense. That I really, really love that. So we have completely blown through our time. No surprise there. So first I wanted to ask you, tell us a bit about laughter yoga.
Oh, sure. So I got trained in laughter yoga back in 2020, right before COVID hit. So wow. I had all these classes lined up that didn't go through because I like doing them in person.
Okay.
Because there is this, you know, how laughter is contagious. It really works well in person. Doesn't work as well on Zoom.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, it does. But it doesn't work as well. But basically, laughter yoga came out of India back in 1995. Now there's 20,000 clubs all over the world. And here's the secret sauce to laughter yoga. So basically, our bodies have all these, you know, it's very smart and very, you know, still trying to figure out some of the things that our bodies do. But when we have a hearty laugh, we secrete these wonderful endorphins that are positive for our bodies. But the crazy thing is, our bodies, as smart as they are, don't know the difference between a real laugh, a hearty laugh at a, you know, a joke, or, you know, just laughing with friends, and a forced laugh. It only knows that you're laughing. So whether it's a forced laugh or a natural laugh, you're getting the same positive endorphins. So what we do in the activities is we do these different fun and completely ridiculous activities sometimes, but it gets people laughing. And when you hear somebody laugh, what happens? The contagiousness, you start laughing as well. And so that's what the laughter exercises do. And the crazy thing is, people might not believe this, but clinical research, and there's been tons of it. My favorite clinical research came from William Fry out of Stanford. Okay. And what he found was that 20 minutes of laughter yoga equals 60 minutes of strenuous cardio in the gym. So I always tell people when they come for an hour laughter yoga class, I say, now you can brag to your friends that you've been in the gym 3 hours.
That's great. That's wonderful. All right. Well, that's like one more thing. We'll add information about this to the show notes as well.
Sure.
So before we sign off, any last advice you'd like to give to our audience, or anything you want to tell them about?
Yeah, I would just say that if you're having a challenge with your stress, I've got my book that's available that has over 120 activities, very quick ones that you can do. I also have a class, an online self-paced course that can walk you through it if you're more into the video kind of type processes there. And then just remember that, you know, trading your health for your career is a very bad trade. So don't do it.
That is a perfect last sentence for us. If you're miserable in your career, you're working yourself too hard, don't do it. All right. Well, Professor Pete, thank you so much for joining me today. This has been a really fun conversation.
Well, Maria, it's been my pleasure. Thank you so much for having me on the show. And thanks again to your listeners for their time as well.
Okay. All right. Awesome. Everyone, thank you so much for listening. Take care.
Thanks for listening. If you found this content helpful, please like, comment, and share across your social media. Are you sick of mind clucking up your days? Book a free initial consult with me at mindcluck.com and let's silence it. Thanks and have a great week.